After a first year in the Peace Corps, which focused heavily on work in the classroom and personally training the students at the National School for the Blind, Geir Wilcox planned a different approach in his second year, which he hoped would be more effective in terms of lasting impact.
A dull sort of pounding at the back of my head that I had better know what I'm doing, or at least be careful not to get roped into what I did last year. My feeling is that what I did last year missed the boat in several ways, may have served as an introduction, and now we're ready to try broader ranged approaches to improving this work of the school. And yet, facing the challenge of trying to tackle a problem that's perhaps less tangible in the sense that I won't feel that I am working the way I would if I were in direct contact with the kids all the time, as I was last year, that it may make me feel that I'm not doing enough, and I may be easily drawn back into the pattern of last year where I do nothing but teach individuals and find that I've spent the whole year teaching individuals to do things that they are not willing to use or to continue doing after I've gone, that the school will not continue doing teaching, and that the kids will actually fall back into pre-Peace Corps arrival patterns.
In light of these new goals, Geir began to look beyond the scope of the school to work with non-enrolled blind Dominicans.
Perspective and maybe even a different job for next year rather than working at the school as I did this year. By being experimental, I mean this. I hope to work with individuals and help them to make themselves a little happier, participate more, and so forth. In some cases, possibly we can find employment or they can find employment, and I want to help try doing this, and I'm going to do so with several of the students who are in Santiago, and I'm going to also do sort of a survey of the blind people whom I run across and try and find out just what they are doing, just how they do live, and what their interests are, and maybe try and figure out ways in which they can expand their interests or maybe develop one they have more highly. What I have to do in many cases will be to involve the community to help this individual grow and help him to learn and maybe even to give him a position where he can be not only receiving but contributing to the community as a worker or something of this sort. I say it's experimental because I really don't know how I'm going to go about doing it. First problem, of course, will be to find the blind people. Second will be to figure out how much they can do, what their capacities and interests are. Third then will be to tap the resources of the community and try and get this person connected in and help this person develop what he's got.
For Geir's projects in particular are part of larger goals of the Peace Corps at the organizational level. Here, Geir describes those goals and articulates how well he believes he and his cohorts have done by them.
We've been talking lately about the effectiveness of the Peace Corps here, and there are a number of things that are going on at the current time which might be of interest to you. One of my friends says that there were three aims of the Peace Corps. One was to provide semi-skilled technicians. Another was to provide, I guess it was to educate some of our people and have some people come back and spread knowledge of other countries around. And the third was to spread knowledge of the United States around another nation. And in terms of the latter, the third one, I guess we're doing that here. We don't tend to be indoctrinating types. I'm not sure that we all aren't. And I think that people in general do get along with most of us. I think there has been probably a pretty good cultural exchange in this sense. The first one, providing the semi-skilled technical aid, and there are several cooperatives that have to make big decisions as to whether they're going to go on and fight without the help of Peace Corps as people are terminating their service and leaving, or whether they are going to close down now, take advantage of the last few months or weeks of help that the Peace Corps man can give in collapsing the thing gracefully and salvaging whatever can be salvaged.
In order to implement his new plan and better serve these ideas, Geer began to define his intentions more narrowly.
None of these possibilities are well defined because I haven't defined them yet to anyone who they should be defined to. I mentioned that I did outline the proposal to the directora that I might like to work in organization more than actually teaching next year. She said yes, but she very carefully brushed it off quickly, so I don't know what we're going to get there. I think in the school I will try and spend more time evaluating and trying to seek training for the students rather than trying to spend most of my time teaching myself. This will be interesting, but I don't know how it's going to work. It'll leave my work a lot more nebulous and not so scheduled and routine, and I'm not quite sure how I'm going to take to working in that kind of a situation. Well, that's one possibility. Another one, of course, is to go back and teach whatever way I can. And a third one is to spend a lot of time working outside the school. And this is going to be very hard to do because if I don't get something started now, there would be no point in doing that. And the fourth would be to spend most of my time working with this Junior Chamber of Commerce group, trying to help them get organized and look for as many resources as we can get.
Continuing this work after Geer's time with the Peace Corps has ended is in the continuation of mobility training.
We talked about the problem of what's going to happen to the mobility aspect of work at the school when I leave. So the idea now is that I will try and collect as much information as I can and try and outline a course and give it to a prospective teacher of mobility and maybe write it up so it will be there in the event that this person doesn't stick around. And this person also might be able in the end to go to the States and get further training and come back professionally trained. So give us a chance to find someone who has the interest and is dedicated and know ahead of time that he is interested and get him the training necessary, and at the same time he will be filling in at the school in a very useful capacity.
In May 1965, a pro-communist coup cut short Geer Wilcox's time with the Peace Corps. Here, Geer describes the impact the coup had on his work.
First of all, as of yesterday, May 16th, there was a series of articles that were beginning to appear in the New York Herald Tribune, which looked like they're going to be very complete in terms of the history and the development of the coup. Not to say that they'll answer all questions, but anyway, they will eliminate a lot of things that we don't know as volunteers being stuck around the city. Newsweek magazine, I guess it's this last issue, which came out Wednesday, has a very good article, at least we think it does, except for the fact that it attributes the Peace Corps lending information to the embassy and making its decision, which is something that we all are very fearful of, because it then makes it look like Peace Corps is acting as intelligence agents, and if this idea gets spread around, then anti-American feeling will include anti-Peace Corps feeling, which it hasn't up to this point. So this kind of thing happens, we get discouraged. At night we kept pretty quiet. We would lie on the floor, listen to the radio. We would hear some shooting around outside, but it wasn't very close. Sometimes it would seem closer than it was, just from our own lack of experience, and also being a little anxious about being shot, you know? But it really was pretty far away.
The coup itself was a profoundly unsettling occurrence, but the meaning of it, for the Dominican Republic and for Geer, lies in his more philosophical musings.
The rebels got really mad at Wessing & Wessing for being so brutal as to use the airplanes to fight back against the people people. Wesley was one who had thrown Bosch out to begin with, and seemed to be very anti-Bosch and very afraid of communists. And I can see his point of view if he really believes in that Bosch was a communist and is afraid of communists. Anything would be worth doing to save the country from communism. And so this would be a viable military tactic. We maintained contact with the Peace Corps office once or twice or three times a day, trying to find out what was going on and what they were thinking, and all the time we felt we were safer in where we were than we would have been to try and move out. Perhaps safer elsewhere, but in the process of getting elsewhere, we would run the danger. So we preferred to sit tight, which was Peace Corps policy anyway. And the next morning, and we all drove over to the Embajador Hotel, where the Marines were landing, were coming in. They had begun to come in Monday evening, and that was when we began to get a little worried as to how safe we would be. The more Marines that come in, the more anti-American feeling there would be, and the less safety there would be. The embassy has been screaming about communists in the rebel movement, and there has been a little documentation, some of which has been substantiated, I guess, to our minds, but much which has been just suggested over to us, and we really, most of us, identify with the people and their cry for democratic government, and are really quite angry at the U.S. policy of supporting the military, which just sides with the oligarchy and the rich all over again, which is what we've done in the case of Trujillo for so long, and in the case of the military junta just passed. And at this time, you sound the people really ready to fight for constitutionality. It seems to us, and there are many, many arguments, that the U.S. is too involved, let's put it that way, with one side and not the other. This particular government was arranged partly by the U.S., we feel. Many people think that Imbert was flown out to the Boxer, and which is the aircraft carrier, and these arrangements were made. And so he's a U.S. put-up man, and it was all made possible by the military, which is very strong on the junta, the government, provisional government. And then no recognition at all, as of yet, has been given to the Comanio forces, and so there wasn't much representation on there of the people who were fighting. Although I do side with the people, I think, in general, and feel that we ought to give them a chance. I feel that the U.S. screams communist too soon, and I'm very worried that if we aren't careful and don't bother to stop and take a look at what we're calling communist, we may not only lose the support of an awful lot of Latin America, but may in the end, I mean, it could lead to a real crumbling of our own civilization, our own country, in that we suspect so many people that we can't argue and listen and understand people's points of view, and that we try and shut them up by calling them communists, and that this is such a threat to a person, and that communist has taken on many different meanings now and isn't just, quote, the violent, advocating the violent overthrow of the government. It seems to me conceivable that what might be called a communist revolution could be very beneficial for a country and its social and economic situation. I'm dying to get information from Cuba. We have such biased information, we really can't say whether it's true or not. There's a heck of a lot about Cuba that obviously is wrong and bad, but yet you wonder if some of the things that are going on there aren't good, and if we can't consider them and perhaps encourage the kind of good things that happen in Cuba in other parts, and not forcing the bad things by putting up this horrible, isolating, pointing the finger and condemning kind of operation.
Gere Wilcox speaks often about whether his work in the Dominican Republic would outlast him and continue to improve the lives and stations of the blind after he was gone. Yet, at the end of his service, he reflected rather on the lasting impressions left with him. Just as the Americans had come to disrupt and better Dominican life through development volunteering, so had the coup interrupted Dominican life in an attempt to achieve better lives and policies. This meditation offers a further opportunity to ask ourselves, what ideas might we be able to embrace if they were approached without bias, preconception, or prejudice? If you have experience with embracing new ideas, please let us know about them and join the conversation in the comments.